Buccaneers fans, here he is. He is Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira. This is JoeBucksFan.com, our beautiful podcast with Lee DeCamper. I'm Steve Isbitz. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. If you haven't caught up on your podcast listening, just do it right now at Apple Podcasts. Podcast Addict Ira, you got like 1,500 subscribers there. Podbean, you're another 700. There's thousands on Apple, all over the place. The Sage is listened to, so catch up. We've had a couple of great podcasts recently. I think we're on a roll, Ira. And of course, Bill Curry Ford, they are always on a roll. Head to the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. But if you don't want to, just go to BillCurryFord.com. And whatever you do, reach out to Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. He's the big boss, but he wants to help you personally, no matter what it is. That's nothing seedy, Ira. You can email him, you can call him, you can walk in, and he gets those calls all the time. He told me a great story about a listener that sought his help on ordering a new F-150. And of course, you can order your vehicle right now at BillCurryFord.com. No deposit. And you get gift cards back as a promotion, and call Sean for the Ira Kaufman discount. And it's just so easy. BillCurryFord.com, 61 years in Tampa and Florida's elite restoration, Ira. You know what to do when you have mold in that palace you own in Newport Richie there, Ira. You know what to do.
You call Florida's elite restoration. Josh and his people, they do a fantastic job. Come over, they'll give you an honest assessment. Call them before your insurance company. If you feel that there's any chance that you might have a problem, you need people you can trust to give you that kind of evaluation. And Florida's elite restoration, you can trust.
If you own a business that services clients and those clients have disasters in their home, like an air conditioning company, a plumber, a property manager, Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration wants to work with you. He wants to show you how Florida's Elite Restoration deals with companies honestly and clients and people in their home honestly with free assessments, and is someone you can count on. So reach out to him, and Josh will lay it out for you what Florida's Elite Restoration does for great companies all over the Bay Area, as well as homeowners. Florida'sElite Restoration.com. And Sage will talk about the beer later, Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. Now, we're going to talk draft in this podcast, Ira. We're going to not get into prospects too much. We're going to talk more about where the Bucks may be smartest to proceed. But you've been reading all these stories about Tom Brady wanting to head to Miami after he retired earlier this season as a part owner of the Dolphins and maybe somehow eventually playing for the Dolphins, but basically switching in an ownership capacity. What do you think fans need to know about that?
Steve, this story has so many layers. When I was in Palm Beach with you, Steve, a couple of weeks ago, I had a couple of national guys tell me, Ira, this Dolphin stuff with Stephen Ross, there's something to it. So let me lay this out to Mr. Lee DeCamper, who is a modicum of common sense in this area. Here's what I have no doubt about. Stephen Ross was interested in this, in making this happen. Mm-hmm. Stephen Ross was interested. I don't have any doubts about that. However, when you're connecting all these dots, it gets a little crazy. Let me throw some things at you. Lee, Sean Payton was under contract. He's still under contract. You don't get Sean Payton without satisfying the Saints. If at all, you can satisfy the Saints. At minimum, it's going to cost you a first-round pick, if not more. Number two, Lee, Tom Brady under contract. Am I shocked that Brady might be interested in being a minority owner in the NFL? No, I don't think you would be either, Lee. That's enticing. From a Brady perspective, his wife wants to live in Miami. They're building a home in Miami. I understand all that. Wants to be a minority owner. I could understand all that. First of all, Lee, that doesn't mean he's got major problems with Bruce Arians. Let's not go there because that's not an equal matchup. You got to satisfy the Bucks at that point. They got a chance to force Brady's hand. They don't have to deal Tom Brady to the Dolphins. And if they decide to, they're going to ask for compensation. And it might be heavy compensation. Here's another one, Lee. At the time all of this was going on, the Dolphins didn't have Tyreek Hill. They had like one receiver. So all of a sudden Brady wants to bolt the Buccaneers, where he's averaging 30 points in each of two seasons, winning a Super Bowl, and going to a team with a garbage offense instead of being surrounded by all this talent. And Lee, here's one more point, and Steve, you're going to have to straighten me out on this one. All I keep reading is how the Brian Flores lawsuit scuttled this deal that was going to happen. First of all, Lee, I told you two reasons why it may not happen, because these guys are under contract. But besides that, the stipulation that was in the Brian Flores suit, where he was supposed to meet on a yacht with a prominent quarterback, and I don't have any doubt that it was Brady who he's referring to. Steve, that was in 2019. That wasn't February. It was 2019 when Brady was not even a Buccaneer yet. Am I wrong about that, Steve? So it's a very confusing timeline here to me.
The premise that Brian Flores blew up that plan makes no sense to me. Why would it? Let's say they were talking about last summer. I'm just throwing it out there. Why would the Flores lawsuit scuttle it? It makes no sense to me. Like, oh, you can't do that because that backs them up that you're high-end white guys. A seven-time Super Bowl winner and a Super Bowl winning coach? Who wouldn't hire those guys? That makes no sense to me.
And hold on, Lee. Here's another one. Who says that it's not a conflict of interest to be a minority owner and a player at the same time?
Isn't there NFL rules against that,
Buster Lee?
Isn't there NFL rules against that, that a player cannot own a chunk of a team?
You would think so, Steve. I mean, this stuff's getting out of hand.
Well, Ben Volling also reported that, and he's a pretty legitimate guy, so I don't know if he would put up, you know, complete and total BS. Here's what makes more sense to me. Tell me the Dolphins, that as they are currently set up, doesn't that smell just like the Bucks in 2019? We're bringing Arians in. We're going to try to save Jameis's job. If Jameis can't get the job done, we'll move on. Does that smell like the Dolphins? We're bringing an offensive guy. We're going to load up for Tua. And if Tua can't get the job done, we're going to move on.
It does, Lee. And that's why, Steve, I don't think Brady will sign with the Bucs for 2023. I don't think he will.
Well, there's a lot of ways to look at it. First, I think it's very reasonable for the deal to blow up simply because you're looking at it from the other side. I look at it from the ownership side. Stephen Ross calling Tom Brady saying, look, this thing's a mess right now. There's going to be all spotlights on us. It's not the right time. End of deal. That's the way I look at it. Stephen Ross isn't in a hurry for Tom Brady. If he wants him to be an owner and a partner with him on various ways, Tom Brady's not going anywhere. I mean, he's one minor injury from hanging it up. So I don't think it was about playing. I think it was more about a long-term partnership. And right now, you know, these business guys know that it's got to be right. And, you know, I think it might have been just canceled from the Ross end of it. The other stuff, it's just all weird. I mean, I don't look at the Dolphins as Arians style coming in, young quarterback and all that, because the Dolphins won 8 out of their last 9 games last year. They were a fantastic football team at the end of the year. So, and they're making this change, but they're a good team in a lot of ways. And so it's the whole thing's weird, Ira. I don't know if I believe it. There's so many things that would have had to come true and so much compensation everywhere. And I will say this, Ira, you know, at the owners' meetings, you and I, you know, stood there with Joel Glazer, a long private conversation, and you were all in his face about this stuff completely, like a gnat on a summer night. You were all over him. What's this, Stephen Ross? Come on, Joel, and all this stuff. You were all over his face. All this stuff was off the record, and he didn't spill everything, but he gave us an answer, Ira, and, you know, I can't say I sit here and believe him, but, you know, the gist of it is that nothing surprises these owners on what goes the backroom deals that they're all trying to make.
Lee, I would not be shocked if Tua had a mediocre season, even with these good targets, Lee, and then Brady ends up playing for the Dolphins next year. I wouldn't be shocked at that, Lee.
Me neither.
Well, we're going to find out pretty quickly, because if Tom Brady does not sign a contract with the Bucs for next year, and we just know the team will find a way to pay him $45, $50 million, money won't be the issue, and they'll be happy to give him some sort of lifetime contract as a Buccaneer. And hey, Tom, as long as you want to play, you can make this money, and we'll just keep kicking the money down the road. If he doesn't sign for 2023, I worry about it mostly, Ira, because it would be a tremendous distraction for Todd Bowles as a new coach. If Tom Brady is in a lame duck season, how many questions are going to be, especially as we get into October, November? Is this the end for Brady? No contract. What are you doing for the future and the pressure and all that stuff? That all goes away if Brady has his name on a contract for 2023.
That's a great point, Steve. It is a giant distraction. It will dominate the headlines towards the end of the season. But Lee, it could also take a backseat to a Super Bowl run. And that's all Buck fans care about. It's all they should care about. And Lee, if they get Brady for only 3 years, we should all still be thankful, Lee. Thankful.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
All right. NFL draft is here, Ira, and I got to ask you, as everybody will be asking you as we get within the two-week mark, is, Ira, what are we going to do in the draft? What are we doing? Where are we going? What are we doing? So, Ira, as I sit here on this weekend, 2.5 weeks before the draft, Ira, where are we going? What are we doing? What's the focus? Where do you think the organization's head is at? And how do you think the shift to Todd Bowles changes things?
Well, I'm right there with Lee DeKemper on this point, and I can just see Sean Sullivan shaking his head in agreement with me. D-line. D-line is the priority. It continues to be the priority. If Ndamukong Suh comes back, it is still the priority, Lee, going forward, because Sue doesn't have too many years left. I'm sorry. JPP is out of the picture. And, Lee, I'm going to give you a position, Lee, and I need you to weigh in on this one. It's not talked about very much with the Bucs, but I think it's a critical problem going forward. And, Lee, that position is tight end. You got to get a tight end. I don't care if Gronk comes back or not going forward, especially if we're not sure Brady's going to be here in 2023. That'll knock Gronk right out of the park. At least in a Tampa Bay uniform. Maybe he wants to play with Brady somewhere else. That's up to him. But he's not going to play for the Bucs if Brady's not here. The cupboard's empty at tight end. I'm sorry.
Yeah, real quick about Gronk. He was on Jimmy Kimmel. It sounds like this is going to be his last year, period. He's already saying, I don't know about my body, wants to, you know, take that punishment. And we know there were stories in the past how, I mean, absolutely beat up he was from a season. At one point, he was so beat up that his brother had to hold him up at a urinal so he can go to the bathroom. So it sounds like this is his last year if he does play. And real quick about Gronk, and he said this about Brady. Obviously, Brady came up with Jimmy Kimmel, and Gronk said he wasn't surprised Brady came back. He was surprised that Brady didn't take a year off. So for the people that are pushing the Miami narrative, there you go. There's some meat on the bone for you. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I guess it's just me. I don't see this absolute need for defensive line if Sue comes back. What I do see is a need for a cornerback, and this is why. Do we fully expect the Bucs to bring back both Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting for 2023? I don't. Not both of them. One of them, maybe. And so they're going to need a cornerback bad. We saw last year, for whatever reason, the depth at cornerback was not good. They're pulling Richard Sherman out of mothballs, and he was hurt. The way I look at it, you get a cornerback at 27. He's going to play. You get him ready to go. So when Bunting and or Dean leave next year, this guy's ready to start. But in the meantime, he'll be able to play some significant minutes. I'm not dismissing the defensive line. I just don't see it as a major need right now. Now, if Sue doesn't come back next year, and he might, who knows? Golston, I understand, is under a one-year contract. I don't see a need for defensive line as, and when I say defensive line, I'm not talking about edge rusher. I'm just talking about the three guys, the down linemen, Golston, Vita Vea, Sue. I don't see the crying need there when you compare that to cornerback. We saw last year what happened when one starting corner went down. The whole defense collapsed for whatever reason, whether it was depth, whether Bulls had problems mixing and matching, I don't know. I just know it was bad. So in my eyes, that's a more glaring need, because we saw it last year, how badly they needed another cornerback. To me, that's more of a glaring need than defensive line right now. When I say right now, I'm talking about 2022. I'm talking about making a march to the Super Bowl right now.
Well, Lee, that was interesting. Now, you did mention 2023 vis-a-vis Dean and Bunting. So, Steve, I could make the same argument 2023 about Ndamukong Suh. I mean, if he's a buck this fall, the odds are good. It's his last year in Tampa. And then what? Lee, you mentioned edge rusher. You kind of pasted over it. I'm not pasting over that. I got a problem there. I have a concern there because JPP's gone. And, you know, look, he was fairly ineffective last year. I agree. But now you got to replace him. And I don't know about Tryon at this point. Nelson does some nice things. He could be exposed the more he plays. I don't think there's enough beef on that D-line, and if you want to throw an edge rusher too, I think they're short.
Well, here's the thing about edge rusher. And obviously the Bucs are looking for right now. They're not worried about 2023. They're worried about right now, this season, 2022. Rookie edge rushers rarely, unless the guy's like a top 10 pick and he's, you know, a Miles Garrett or something, rarely do rookie edge rushers make an impact. So if you draft the edge rusher at 27 to come in, do you really expect him to make a significant impact? I personally don't. So that, to me, takes him off the board right there. You're looking for an impact right now. And I don't think an edge rusher will do that. And now, if you want to make a trade or you want to go out and get another free agent, I'm all for that. If you cross your fingers and cross your toes and hope JPP comes in for the cheap, I'm all for that. I don't disagree that edge rush is a question.
Sage, I would be all in on the offensive line. That is exactly where I would go for multiple reasons. One, if you pick a good offensive lineman, a center guard type is what I'm talking about. If you pick a good one, preferably a guard, you can't go wrong. It doesn't matter the year, doesn't matter who it is. If you have a good, strong offensive lineman, it's a commodity in the league. Jason Light knows how to pick these guys. He's proven it. And Aaron Stinney is on a one-year deal that for not a lot of money. If he plays well and has a good year, he's going to command Alex Kappa kind of money if he plays like Alex Kappa. And then you're probably not going to be able to keep him. And if you bring in a top-shelf offensive lineman here, most likely he beats out Aaron Stinney. And I think an amazing offensive line is your best chance at keeping Tom Brady long-term. It's your best recipe for your next quarterback and for luring a veteran if you don't think Kyle Trask can step up. And maybe it improves the running game. So I'm all in on the offensive line. I really don't care. I would like to see them score as many points as possible. They have the firepower to do it. And the better they can get on that O-line, the deeper they can get is the best chance of keeping Brady. They haven't drafted a first-round guard since Davin Joseph in 2006.
Now, Steve, you're talking about a depth piece.
No, I'm not talking about a depth piece. I expect a first-round guard to come in and start and play damn well and beat out Aaron Stinney. That's exactly what I don't
agree with you, Steve. I think they think pretty highly of Stinney. I don't think they're too worried about him. Now, is he Ali Marpet? No, but I don't see the 27th pick in the draft beating out Stinney. I don't see it. Where I'm talking about a tight end or a defensive lineman who can contribute this fall, I think Steve's pie in the sky that the first-round pick is going to beat out Stinney, who I think they like.
I agree with both you guys about Stinney. You're probably thinking, what the hell, both. Ira, I agree with you. They've got confidence in Stinney. I agree with Steve. Money speaks. Look how much money they're giving Stinney. Does that scream confidence?
Well, he'll get it in his next contract.
If he does well. Now you go out and get this Kenyon Green from Texas A&M. Everybody says he's ready to rock and roll right now. He could play left tackle. He's versatile. I could see that. I'd rather have a cornerback, or I'd rather have a defensive lineman. But I see where both you guys are coming from.
Steve, do you think the transition from Arians to Bowles, Steve, and you know how Jason Light likes to tailor picks if he can, to his head coach, would that tilt the premium picks in the draft bowls as well in terms of maybe more defensively?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of the original questions that I asked, Ira, which is fantastic. I'm glad you brought that up. And we're going to touch on that and hit that because I think it's very important because we know that general managers often say, well, I got to serve the head coach or this head coach wanted this and got to work together. But this is a different kind of year. I'll ask you this hypothetical, though, Ira, before we go there. Do you think Ali Marpet, as a rookie, would have beaten out Aaron Stinney?
Yeah, he was a second-round pick. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm talking about drafting a first-round pick on the offensive line, coming in and blowing Stinney out because this new guy would be so damn talented, he'd blow him away. Now, look, Marpet came in switching positions. He was a tackle at Nobody College in New York, and he comes in and he plays well as a second round pick, and they run wild with the football. He's a punishing blocker, you know, Charles Sims, your guy, and Doug Martin. So I don't look at Stinney that highly. Nice player, but he's never started more than one regular season game, and nobody paid him after his Super Bowl run. So I don't know. I got to disagree with you there, Ira, but we can agree to disagree.
No. Wait a minute. When Marpet came in 2015, along with Donovan Smith, that offensive line was a joke, Lee. Those guys were going to start. I don't care if they screwed up day after day in training camp, those two were going to start.
Who did Marpet have to beat out? Was it Garrett Whoops-Gilkey or was it O'Neal Cousins?
It might have been O'Neal Cousins. Oh, boy.
All right, Sage. Now, look, here we go. Todd Bowles, the influence, will this push the scales toward a defensive player, a defensive lineman? I don't know, Ira. That's a good question. At this point, Bowles is very secure in his job, and it's hard to say what he thinks the needs are, but I will answer it this way. If Ndamukong Suh is not signed yet, and they're still sort of quietly negotiating and playing this chess game, yeah, I think Bowles is going to push hard for one of the defensive tackles in the first round to not mess around. If one of the guys they like is there, and he'll have a good case. He would certainly have a good case, and of course you can't go wrong with a good defensive lineman either. Right? You can't go wrong in the trenches, but I don't know. I ultimately think that Jason Light is going to be swinging the big stick in this draft, and the Bowles is not going to have a lot of influence.
I'll tell you this. Here's something I know for a fact, and it's not conjecture or projection. Lee, on the day that Bowles was introduced, which was March 31, and I talked to Jason Light off to the side after the conference and talked to him about Bowles and the impact on the draft with the transition from Arians. Jason Light said very clearly, as of today, which was March 31, Bowles had no knowledge of the offensive side of the 2022 draft. None.
I agree with that, yeah.
And it makes sense, Lee. He's looking at corners. He's looking at defensive linemen. He's looking at edge rushers, as he should be, and evaluating it and sending his notes, up to Light in consultation with Light scouts and spy tech and whatever. So now that's broadened, you know, and he's got plenty of time, Lee. He's got plenty of time. So he's got to look at the offensive players. But we all know what Bowles' pedigree is. We do. Yeah, he knows what a good wide receiver looks like. Sure he does. But is he going to get into the weeds on a guard? Lee, maybe. I don't believe he's ever coached on the offensive side of the ball, ever. Lee, it doesn't mean Light is not going to take a guard. It doesn't mean that. But I'll say this. The defensive prospects have a leg up right now with Todd Bowles.
Oh, yeah, and I've heard Bowles in one of the several interviews he's done since he became head coach. He actually mentioned, he's like, you know, I've got so much tape to catch up on with the draft. Well, yeah. The implication was very clear. He's got to catch up on offensive players.
Steve, am I in left field?
Yes.
About this, Steve, this tight end thing. This tight end thing's bugging me. I mean,
all right, I'll give you my 2 cents on the tight end thing, Ira. If we're looking for a win now move, because this is the kind of move they've been making since they, even going back to drafting Tristan Wirfs, drafting Antoine Winfield, plug-and-play kind of guys with that kind of pedigree. Kyle Pitts just set the rookie tight end record last year, and through 14 games, he was still behind Mike Ditka. That's how far back it went for a tight end to have a major impact like that in the passing game. So I get it, and I'm not discounting blocking, but is a tight end in this offense, if he's not Rob Gronkowski, really going to step in as a rookie and do much? I don't see that happening at all. So
I guess I wasn't necessarily, Lee, and I know you're going to kill me for this, I wasn't necessarily looking at 2022. But Lee, when Gronk goes, and he's going to go soon, assuming he comes back, they got nobody.
They got nobody, but Steve made a great point that I didn't think of earlier. Outside of Gronk, they don't use the tight end in this offense. Look at O.J. Howard. He was hardly ever targeted. The only guy that's targeted, really, is Cam Brate. That's more like a slot receiver than a tight end, which you can make an argument he might be better at that than tight end. So, you know, Steve makes an excellent point. Tight end's not a focus point of this offense. Yeah, you could jump up and down. They need a tight end, but if they're not going to use the guy, what's the point?
Well, there's a lot of great tight ends in this league, and they make a hell of a contribution. The Travis
Kelce. I agree with you, Ibra, and other offenses.
We don't know if Leftwich is going to be here, so things change. Lee, things can change.
Yes, you know? But are they playing for 2023?
All right.
Sage, I'm not against drafting a tight end. I think it would be a smart move in a lot of ways. But if Gronk's coming back, you know, the guy's not going to play that much. That would be the reality.
I don't think there's a tight end worth taking a first-round pick. I'm just saying, you know, in the first three rounds, I don't think that's crazy.
I mean, they do use it with Gronk. But my point was that, hey, without Gronk, it's a special situation. And if Gronk got hurt, this offense isn't going to have any problem just spreading the receivers out and doing the different things they do. So it's interesting, Ira, but it's balancing that future versus now. And there are going to be plenty of great tight ends out there. I would encourage anyone to listen to Best in Class podcast with Sean Sullivan, this last episode, Wide Receivers and Tight Ends. If you just are a freak for tight ends, the last 10 minutes of the episode is on that. It's right there at joebucksfan.com, Apple Podcasts, wherever. Sage, we talked about the first round, and so if your focus is on that defensive line, Ira, is that fair to say?
It is.
Is tight end next for you, or where would you go from there, philosophically?
I'd go over to DeKemper's side at corner. I would go corner because this league's not going to go backwards in their promotion of the passing game, and they love the points. And can I get a cornerback on this team that turns around when the ball's in the air? Can I get one, Kemper? And maybe besides Carlton Davis. So Lee's right. You can't have enough good corners in this league. Can't.
Well, Ira, second round, I'd be, if I got my wish and got that offensive lineman in the first round, as much as I'd like to take a running back, that's not what I would do. And I would have my eye on the edge rusher in the second round. Nice, inexpensive second-round edge rusher, maybe a best available guy that you think can challenge what's there. I don't see Anthony Nelson as the future of the edge rush.
Lee, I can't see a wide receiver with a premium pick making an impact this fall. I don't see it, Lee.
I don't see it, although Steve made a compelling point a week or so ago that if you want to try to entice Tom Brady to re-up, you get him even more toys.
I mean, unless we think Godwin's not going to be available till, you know, November 18th. I mean,
that's the wild card. Yeah,
it is. I love Gage. Gage is a number three guy. That's outstanding. Yeah.
Ira, I've got an important question for you since we're talking draft, and we're going to get more into names. Again, I think talking about it philosophically here, especially as we get more finality with free agency, before the draft, you know, again, this Keanu Neal signing was huge as it relates to the draft in a lot of ways because of competition it creates with Logan Ryan now, you know, being free to learn and fill in wherever Todd Bowles thinks he's best. There's less pressure on Ryan at safety, etc. But Sage, I got to tell everybody the Bromosa, that is the Tangerine IPA from Big Storm Brewery. It's phenomenal. We've all had it. It's in Publix. It's their top seller. And it's that way for a reason. Just unreal beer. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm Beer. So many greats. Just get to bigstormbrewery.com. Not only can you find the tap rooms, but you can see all the varieties. Punch in your zip code. Find out where to buy it near you. It's the best way to do it. Try the Bromosa. Shoot us a picture on Twitter. We love to see it. And Ira likes the Bay Beer. If you want to be a sage, you got to drink like the sage. Big Storm Beer. Florida's best craft beer. Ira, the important question that I need to ask you is, if Tom Brady came to you and you're Jason Light and he said, look, I've been studying the draft. I've talked to this guy, talked to that guy. I want to draft this guy in the first round. Do you do it?
Even if it's a defensive player?
It doesn't matter who it is. If he comes and he gives a compelling case and he says, I want this guy, this is why I want to draft this guy.
I would give it serious consideration. I really would, Lee. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. I mean, Light's got a stable of guys in his group, regional scouts. He's got spy tech. He's got he's got eyes with Tom Moore and Arians looking at film. But Lee, it's Tom Brady. You always come back to that, Lee. It's Tom Brady. And I'm with you, Lee. They're 22-5 for a reason. And I know that Arians said Brady gets way too much credit. Lee, I think that's a lot of talk. That's Byron Leftwich driven. I'm not sure Arians believes it. Lee, not everything Arians says he believes, Lee. We've come to know that. He's got ulterior motives, and there's nothing wrong with promoting, your guy and trying to get him a head coaching job. But there's only one Brady, what he's done for this franchise. If he makes a case, a strong one, in front of Jason Light, I'm going back and taking a long look at that film of that guy, and I'd be prone to accommodate him.
Here's what I would do. If Brady comes up to Light, says, hey, I really need this guy. You really need to draft him. And he puts the full court press on Light like he did with Antonio Brown. If I'm Light, I said, Tom, give me 5 minutes. I'll be right back. Light goes in the accounting room, comes back with a contract. Sign, Tom, and I will draft whoever the hell you want me to.
Oh, great answer, Lee. Great answer.
All right, Lee. Suppose he says, I'm not ready to do that today. Maybe in
May. I'm not ready to draft the guy you want.
Consideration. Yeah, we'll take it under consideration.
It is a good question, though. It is a good question. If Brady comes, we hear that he's the most prepared guy ever. If he just says, Jason, can we chat? And he lays it out, gives a 10-minute pitch, and says, I want this guy. And this is exactly why we need to draft this guy. For one draft pick of Jason Light's career, considering what making Tom Brady happy might mean, and the fact that, look, half the guys at the bottom of the first round are busts anyway, I'm with you, Ira. Yes, Mr. Brady, we're going to do it. And, of course, it'd be more complex than that, and you try to get a contract out of him and get some more out of him first, but I would do it in a heartbeat.
And Lee's answer is a great one, too, Steve. A little quid pro quo, right, Lee?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got to try.
Back, I'll scratch yours.
Yeah, you got to try. You got to try.
You got to try.
Yeah, and you could always throw in, like they always, with these deals, they always throw in late round picks. Say, Tom, well, if you sign today, we'll also give you the 6th round pick. How about that?
By the way, Steve, I think it's worth noting that I had a Bramosa in my hand the other day from Big Storm because I was toasting the reacquisition of one Giovanni Bernard. Yes, Mr. DeKalb. We have another season to discuss the talents and versatility of Gio Bernard.
All right. Of course, Ira, you were not driving your cherry red Ford Escape as you were doing that, Ira, but I know that you did take your Bernard jersey and jam it in the back window, and it's been flapping around as you drive down US 19. So, yes, we congratulated you a couple of podcasts ago, and I know you're still celebrating. Look, Ira, last thing I'm going to throw this to you is an interesting piece. I was searching for Dante Scarnecchia, your favorite guy. I was thinking Ira would want to talk to Dante Scarnecchia, the old legendary Patriots offensive line coach. He'd want to ask him about Shaq Mason. And this guy is the one guy who would give you an honest answer because he has no filter and he just lays it out there. And so I was searching and I finally found him on a weekend show up in Boston. He said this, Ira, which is one of the great quotes of the year. He was talking about the Logan Mankins deal and he compared it, the trade of Mankins to the Bucks, to Shaq Mason being traded to the Bucks. And he said, if he were with the Patriots, it was one of the years that he had taken a year off and he retired and came back. If he was with the Patriots when they traded Mankins to the Bucks, quote, I'd have thrown myself off a bridge on that one. And it was a beautiful quote, and he talked about how much he loves Shaq Mason, and how he was the only offensive line coach sent to scout Shaq Mason at his pro day, and that Belichick and his guys had figured out this guy, there's something there, we're sending Skarnecchia down there, and he talked about all the time he spent with him, and how he went back to study his film, that he said, I never go back and study somebody's film once I've graded it, but I watched Mason in person and said, I'm missing some greatness here that I mean, this guy's so incredible. I need to look at it again. And he called him an absolute can of kick ass was his other quote. And he said that, he's just the real deal and the Bucks are getting a hell of a player and they just didn't want to pay him in New England anymore. And, you know, he was saddened by the whole thing. So what's your thought there? And do you like that endorsement?
Steve, it matches up with what I've heard. Lee, when I was in Palm Beach, I saw Mike Reese, who covers for ESPN, right? The Patriots, well-respected and been around New England for a long time. Got him off to the side. He was waiting for Belichick to come to the podium on that AFC coach's breakfast and asked him about Shaq Mason. Response, Lee, heck of a player, great locker room guy. Great with the media. Lee, you know that I tend to tilt towards those guys because I think they're very thoughtful in their answers, and not a lot of people gravitate towards them. But Reese said the guy's solid as a rock. And Lee, for those people who say Belichick knows something, the guy's slipping, he's not as good as he used to be. Well, he's not, he's not old, Lee, but he's not 23, so maybe he's lost a little bit, but I think he's going to be an excellent addition for the Bucks. And Belichick has a history of when guys ask for what he thinks is too much money, he jettisons them. And they still got plenty of tread on the tires. He's done it a lot of times. You can't knock what Belichick does, Lee. It works. But as far as the other team picking up the veteran guy and being willing to pay him, Lee, a lot of times it works out for the other team too. And I think it will in this case.
Yeah, there's nothing not to like about this deal. I agree with you. Belichick has a long record of doing that, whether it's Chandler Jones or Logan Mankins or what have you. So the Bucks actually, you guys, you were down in Palm Beach. I was not. But I get the sense the Bucks think maybe, just maybe, they may have upgraded at the offensive line.
Interesting.
Yeah, I 100% believe that they think that way. And hey, that's the fun way to think anyway, because of when you get a new player and replace him out. But yeah, I agree with you, Lee. That was some of the feelings that I got for a variety of reasons. And it's interesting, Ira, because Shaq Mason is in the fourth year of a 5-year deal that Bill Belichick gave him. So it's not like he demanded a bunch of money. He got his contract from Belichick himself and was just doing his job. So I thought it was funny at the owners' meetings. Belichick, of course, was asked about the Mason deal, and he wouldn't talk about it. He just gave one of his deadpan one-liners. That's it. That's all you get. The guy's been here 8 years. I'm saying one line that was what we needed to do, and that's it.
Absolutely. Lee, let me throw this out at you, Lee, to wrap up this scintillating podcast. Am I the only guy that finds it interesting? I didn't say shocking, but interesting. According to the Vegas boys, and you know some of them, the Bucks are favored more than the Rams, the defending champs, to win the NFC. Lee, in an offseason where they lost Whitehead and Marpet retired at the age of 28, Brady is 44 years old. Now, the Rams lost Von Miller, but they also picked up some guys. Lee, I think it's remarkable that the Bucks are favored over the Rams at this point.
Little surprising. Earlier in a different podcast, I had mentioned, how the Parcells/Belichick crowd are really, really pushing Todd Bowles as, yes, basically the next Belichick. They've also said to buttress, that's one of your favorite words, Ira, to buttress their point that in their eyes, Bruce Arians is little more than a cartoon character, that if Arians was any kind of coach, the season win totals for the Bucks would have changed. I was on a SiriusXM NFL radio with Zig Bracassi and Ryan Leaf, and Ryan Leaf was pretty much thinking that the Bucks are going to waltz to the division title. They've got, I mean, it's like wide open. They've got no competition whatsoever. And I'm not willing to buy that only because the Saints have Tom Brady's number. That's exactly what I told Ryan Leaf. I said, Dennis Allen has Tom Brady's number. And I said, remember, the Saints beat the Bucs twice last year without Jameis Winston, without Michael Thomas. And so I'm not willing to go there that the Bucs are going to be undefeated in division play. Your thoughts, Ira?
You know, Lee, that's an interesting point. They certainly do have the Bucs number, and I'm not sure that you could even argue that the Bucs outplayed the Saints in that playoff game, but they beat them. Steve, I'm a little surprised at the over-under win total. It's preliminary, but I believe for the Saints, it's 8. Now, that's a losing season, Steve, and as Steve, you always mentioned, the Saints have a darn good defense. And, you know, promoting Dennis Allen to head coach isn't going to change that. They're going to play the same defense. I don't know. I think I like the Saints for over 8 at this point, Steve. Am I wrong?
No, Ira, but they don't have a quarterback yet until he comes back healthy. They don't have a quarterback yet. So, I mean, it's so early. I can't get into the betting totals this early before the draft. Some teams might still be dealing draft day deals. I don't know. I can't go too crazy with it. That's just where I sit, Ira. But I'll